Satan.
I mean, gluten. We're all actually allergic to gluten and dairy. Everyone's lactose intolerant. Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
Yeah.
You don't believe me? Drink a gallon of milk. Are we rolling? And we are rolling.
Oh shit.
Welcome back to Sibling Rivalry. My name is Bob the Drag Queen.
And my name is Miss Cracker.
And my name is Honey Davenport.
And this is Sibling Rivalry.
This week we talk about haters. We find out what made Bob say this.
Monet Exchange, I must say, this look is bad.
We find out what made Honey say this.
A great artist can kill their babies.
And we find out what made Ms. Cracker say this.
Throw on some orange beard blocker underneath your fucking foundation and it will change your fucking life, you ugly slut.
Jumped on faster than me. Mm-hmm. She really learned her way around the ropes.
I've been watching. Okay.
So we have our special guest today is season 11 RuPaul's Drag Race contestant, New York City favorite and a dance icon and AMDA graduate. Please put your hands together for Honey Davenport.
Hey. Truly makes the world go round.
Hello.
Yes, honey.
Wait, so you did go to AMDA?
I did go to AMDA.
AMDA is like the American Music and Drag Academy. It's like you, Marty Gold Cummings, Crystal Demure, Paige Turner,
Peppermint,
Milan,
Shaquita.
Shaquita went to Juilliard.
Shaquita went to Juilliard, but then she walked right back out.
So Shaquita was, she went there, was she in was her cousin Julie's FedEx, yard. Yeah. She worked for Juilliard. Yeah, Julie's yard. Her cousin Julie. She just sang opera there. I went to Juilliard, darling. So you don't know, Shaquita is a New York City nightlife legend. She's the Jamaican drag queen.
Yeah.
Who sounds British for some reason.
Right.
Yeah. But I think people from Jamaica sound British. I don't want to get in a fight with Monet Exchange about accents.
Some do and some don't. It depends on if you went to like a private school. So a lot of people who went to like more fancy schools end up with British accents because their teachers might be British.
Okay.
That's why people who go to other countries like, well, I went to an like some folks like went to an American school if they lived in like India, and some folks, well, I went to a British school. I did, yes, love. Absolutely.
So the topic today is Shaquita.
So today we're talking about haters. Letting haters be your motivators.
Yeah.
Okay. Turning your haters into alligators. And
I didn't hear that one.
If your haters can also serve as translators.
Okay.
I'm also just running out of.
Yeah, yeah. Let them be your Rosetta. There you go.
Well, okay, so the discussion about haters, I just want to mention a comment I recently posted on the Twitter.
Which is your favorite place to go off? You love it.
Twitter.
She likes to start a fire.
Twitter.
Twitter is my favorite discovery from RuPaul's Drag Race. Like, I never tweeted before in my life, and since RuPaul's Drag Race, it's really been like,
oh, absolutely,
place to get my feelings.
Yeah.
Oh, the thing is, when you, after you honestly, Twitter isn't fun unless you have a lot of followers.
Okay.
And once you start getting followers, once you reach like I think 10,000 followers,
yeah,
then Twitter is
like, don't say a big number because
it hasn't even gotten fun for us yet.
No. I mean, how many followers do you have? I mean, I think I have like 309.
Work.
Which
work
is a lot, but not, yeah. I mean, like I think like Bianca and Katya have over 500,000 each.
Yeah.
And I think Laura Delano is the president of Twitter or something.
Absolutely.
Like that.
People just want to be updated on what the hell is happening.
what is the door doing today?
Today, girl.
And the door is like, hey, everyone, I'm at a party. I don't know, eating pizza. Who fucking knows? But yeah, people just love, like, so I posted on Twitter, I said, was I the only one who liked Raja's pants? And I mean, it went bananas.
Right.
Like, my fucking notification.
R-A'J-A. That
Raja, yeah, Raja, yeah. O'Hara.
Raja.
Yeah. Oh, did we lose an L? Did it fly?
Nail?
Something flew. But it's
this is my magical essence.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Now people are gonna think we're like shape shifting reptilians.
Look at our gold nails, you guys. I love this. We should do this more.
So I said. Then people started being mean about Raja. Then like this whole thing. Mm. But like, can I just say? I know that you were there. I was not there with Raja. I miss her on the show already.
Yeah.
Ain't even been another episode.
I know.
Who's going to be the villain?
I was like, I thought she was, I loved having her on the show. I didn't think she was going to win. I wasn't rooting for her, but I miss her on the show.
This goes out to you. We didn't think you were winning. We weren't rooting for you.
Oh, I never for a second thought Roz was going to win Rose Drag Race. No. That does not change the fact that I
wish she was still on the show.
Right. You know how to give you your, like, 5 seconds to, like, go to the pool or be a human somebody. Raja was that person for me. So, like, we got real close.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's sad to see her go. Yeah. It was really sad.
For me, it was Derek Barry.
Oh, God.
It was always me and
so,
Derek.
Oh, God. That's like, voluntarily or,
no.
You know.
Well, at first it was.
Not that that's the worst about Derek, like, but that's the worst about the story.
Die hard Bruce Willis,
imagine.
Samuel L. Jackson, handcuffed suitcase, you guys, just trying to
get
a go. It
was Black Snake Moan all over again.
Yeah, no, yeah.
Like, did y'all just, that's supposed to be, like, your downtime, but, like, judging from your relationship on the show.
Well, yeah, oh, yeah, I wanted,
that,
exactly.
That's what I was like, that's the worst, not because of Derek, but because of y'all relationship on the show.
Well, Derek and I argued, but we got over it a lot. First, it was Nyssha Lopez, and then when Nyssha got eliminated, it became Derek, and then Nyssha came back, and it was Nyssha again. Then Nyssha got eliminated again, and then it was Derek again. Also, the difference was Derek was working out, and I was just trying to, like, get the sun. So it'd be like Derek, like, on the treadmill or the elliptical while the PA was watching us, and me just, like, sitting, like, outside of my room, like, I'm not in my room,
right?
I'm in the gym, I'm in the gym, but I'm, like, literally not doing anything.
Yeah,
and of course the smokers get to go outside, like, all the time.
Yes.
Right.
Like three times a day.
Right.
To fucking smoke cigarettes.
I had to quit smoking after RuPaul's Drag Race.
Oh, because you're like,
I started again.
You started, okay, yeah.
Because you want to go outside.
Yeah.
I was like, I need air. I need to see the sun, girl.
Yeah, you gotta, I gotta fucking, anyway, long story short, back to what I was saying, the fans are being really, you see the video that Raja, can you pull it up on Twitter? Go to Raja's Twitter. There's a video of a guy, when I say going off on Raja.
Okay, so she posted
in person?
No, it's in his story. I think either he sent it straight to her or he posted it as a response to something. But somehow Raja Bendun got a hold to it.
Yeah.
But yeah, and it's like this guy is like just letting her, I mean, this guy is having a rough day.
He has feelings.
Like he's, and I'm like,
he's letting her know that he does not like her.
I mean, that is a very nice way to say what here it is.
Oh, wow.
And he's, like, really cute. Like, it's like, did you not turn on Grindr, sir?
Like, what? Scruff. That is a scruff. That is not a Grindr.
Roll it, man.
Okay. It's play that your fans are, like, serving you so much hatred and hate mail and this and that, but look at how much of a fucking cunt and asshole and hateful piece of shit you were on national fucking television. Thumbs up. Thumbs up, Ron. Please play that.
And then it scrolls up and it shows, like, this is, I don't know if they were, like, talking to each other or, like, they were, like, having a chat with each other and then a heart and then, I don't know what was going on, but, like, Miss Thing, he was really feeling some kind of way on that day.
He was in his feelings.
But, like, this is, I mean, this is not what a hater is, like, someone who's like, your outfits are ugly. This is a person who's, like, having
this is a terrorist. Shock and awe, girl.
Drag name Al-Qaeda. I mean, this guy is having, like, this guy is really, like, having a visceral, emotional response to this fucking...
And read this terrorist new book, I, Sissy. It's just...
So have you guys received any... Because Raja sent home three girls.
Mm-hmm.
She sent home Scarlet Envy, which was the upset.
Yeah.
She sent home Mercedes.
Mm-hmm.
And she sent home...
A BMW.
A Buick.
Yeah.
Alexis.
Layers.
I can't remember the other queen she sent home, but she's sent three girls home on her first time. By the way, when I tell you that Akira dusted her, I mean Akira.
She really did. I truly gagged.
Akira sent her motherfucking packing. And when that final note came up, and she pointed at the door and said, "Strut, I fell off my couch onto the floor and laughed like a black person in a Madea movie." Like I was, like
just Magic Johnson Theater.
Just losing my
midnight
shit.
Friday. Yeah.
I also got Raja has my favorite quote of the season, which was, "This is your last dance, bitch. I'll see you at the reunion." That was
legendary.
That was so cunty. It was so perfect.
Yeah.
Bitch, I'll see you at the reunion. Then she fucking sent that bitch home. And then she will to that bitch at the reunion.
I can't.
When you guys did Drag Race, how did you all do your interviews? Did you do interviews every day?
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know, the kind of before everything got going, and then sort of in the middle of the day, exactly when you needed to not do an interview. They were like, now's your time. It's time to go.
Right.
Yeah, how about well, you?
Yeah, when I was doing Drag Race, we did it once a week. We would journal.
Oh, and right. And then they
oh,
they,
that's so like, well, what weird. Do you think? I don't want to bring...
We would journal throughout the week and write everything down that we were feeling. And they'd be like, journal it, journal, bring out your journals.
Yeah.
They gave us journals. And then on Sunday, only on Sundays...
All day long.
Saturday. For the whole day on Saturday, we would go and film our interviews.
Yeah. That sounds terrible.
It was terrible. So you guys had... Do you guys film Monday through Friday?
Yeah. Monday through Friday.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we filmed Monday through Saturday.
I can't.
And they were off only on Sundays.
The Lord. The Lord's Day. Yeah, yeah. I couldn't... I can't do it because if it happened yesterday, I'm an Aries. I already don't have feelings about it anymore.
Right.
Because I only care about what is happening right now. And, like, if I was in the middle of buttering a bagel when they pulled me, that's the only thing I can talk about because
bagels!
It's the only thing that's currently happening. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Yeah.
So when I had to go back on for my last interviews, and they're like, well, what did you think about this runway? I'm like, anyway. They're like, no, go there, feel it.
The last ones are the worst because that's the whole day.
Also, when you're talking about being hopeful, like, in the middle of your lip sync, you're speaking from a place of not knowing that you were eliminated yet. So you're like...
But you know you got eliminated.
You're like, I am giving them everything.
Oh, not me.
You know what I mean?
I was so over it.
I mean, I'm not trying to be...
You don't know that experience.
You don't know what that's like. Yeah.
It's fine. Mine was more on the lines of, it took five of these motherfuckers to send me home. I'm the only person. It was like kind of aggressive. It wasn't fun.
Someone threw a cup of coffee at someone.
But people should know that. Like, you are not hearing the queen's actual thoughts as they're going down the runway. And that's why when you hear queens describing their runways as they're doing them, they're like, I am... giving them this dress, and the judges better know that I'm here. They're not in it. They sound like they don't remember what was going on. They're doing it like a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 4 weeks later.
But didn't you find yourself like kind of like thinking of like little things like, ooh, I'm gonna say this tomorrow.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing is too on my season because we only did interviews on Saturdays.
Yeah.
If you got eliminated on Monday, you had to stick around.
Oh, right, yeah.
You were there all week because we only do interviews on Saturday.
Yeah.
So you were just in the hotel just like,
No phone, nothing.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Thorgy got eliminated on a Monday and didn't get to leave until Saturday.
Work.
No, until Sunday.
Yeah.
Isn't that wild? Now, when you guys get haters, how do you deal with getting haters? Like, how do you deal with, like, someone being like, you're trash or you're fabulous?
I have a really interesting way of dealing with it. So I've realized that, first off, I was only responding to the people who were throwing hate. Like, I wasn't responding to any of my fans who were sending love, or at least substantially a lower amount. Like, I was scrolling through, oh, you said this about my dress? Let me respond to you.
Yeah.
So I was like, that's not my MO. But I am a person who likes to spread lots of positivity. So I've been going into haters' personal accounts and finding nice shit to say about them because there's absolutely nothing you can do back to that. So I always feel like I won because I'm petty.
That's kind of amazing.
Yeah, I've been like, oh, okay, so you hate my outfit. So I like legit will go to this person's profile, and if it's not blocked like most haters are, right, that kind of burns me. I was like, oh, I can't even say something nice to
you. Go into their account and be like, you know what? I like that you're 40 and single.
Right.
I like that about you. I've always liked that about you.
One thing, I think the pettiest nice thing I've ever done in my life, I was in a fight with a guy on Twitter. And he was like going in about how I was trash and this and that and the other and how I was immature and how I was selfish and I didn't care anyone but myself. So then I just went through his Twitter and kind of just like scrolled through his Twitter.
Yeah.
And then I saw that he had a GoFundMe. And then I just pledged the rest of the amount that he needed to reach his goal.
Work.
And he was like, I was like, yeah, I just, you reached your goal. You said you needed a new computer and to help with your film editing. And there you have it.
There you go. Yeah.
That's what a selfish
person... Am I not a river to my people?
That's what a selfish person just did for you.
Yeah.
Right. To be honest, like, a lot of times people, like, I know me. Like, I pop off when I'm feeling like I'm not heard or feeling like I'm not loved.
Yeah.
So to share that, be like, okay, something is deeper here because this is a television show or this is drag. Like, you shouldn't care to that extreme. This is about something going on in your life.
Yeah.
And as a queen, like, it's kind of like service to the world to, like, cheer people the fuck up, right?
So,
Yeah. I just use it as one of my duties.
For me, like, Caitlin trained me to understand that anything that you give any energy to is mm-hmm. going to grow. So if it is a negative thing, if you respond positive or negative, you are still sending energy in that direction and building it up and making more of a thing. So unless it is something that I have truly done wrong that merits a response and an apology, unless it is that, if it is anything else, I do not read it if possible, and if I've read it, I do not respond in any way. I try not to think about it. I try not to talk to other people about it, friends, anything. Try to give it zero so that it will become smaller. And one of the things that drove me to that is I heard about this writer, a feminist writer in Seattle. I keep saying this 1,000 times, but it's a good fucking story.
99 people in a room. Yeah, she's,
well, as an Italian, this feminist writer in Seattle got her father passed, and someone... funny.
I'm joking. I was kidding.
Her father passed, and someone started a Twitter account with her father's name. And,
I saw this on This American Life.
Right, and sent hate to her from in her dad's voice, being like, "I am so ashamed of my daughter." Yep. From beyond the grand, I fucking hate you. And so instead of responding to it with hate or trying to be nice or anything, she just went to his house. And when he opened the door, he said, like, "Hello, say it directly to my face." And he was gagged. And basically what he said was, "I have recently gone through a terrible time in my life. And I wasn't even thinking about you. I was just thinking of soothing the bad feelings that I have."
Right.
And so when someone sends you hate, you don't know where they are in their life. And when I think about the times that I have been a hater towards other people, I think about where I was in my life. Right. It wasn't a good place. Right. So you can guarantee that if someone's doing that, like, "Oh, Roger, you miserable cunt," they are actually saying the exact same thing to themselves.
Right.
So don't... fight them.
I would say what you were saying is all very true, but sometimes I like to respond with, "You're a pussy, your mom's a bitch, your vagina smells like fish, and your dick is ugly. Bye, bitch." Blocked, bitch.
Rhyming couplets. Oh, no, the more petty thing is to go and find their mom. Like, start liking her pictures and start having conversations with her.
That's not what your mom said.
That's not what your mom said.
Now, when I was outside her house looking through the windows, just, who's crazy now?
Just a selfie with you and their mom, like, "Hey."
Oh, I like that. Take a screenshot and send it to the mom. Use those Delta miles for something good. Go to they mama house.
So, what is the difference between hate and criticism? For example, the big thing on season 11 right now is that Evie Oddly is always offering up criticism. And in Evie's defense, if the girls would take the advice that Evie gave them, they wouldn't be in the bottom or safe that week. Right. Evie's like, "Well, maybe you should change up your silhouette." And they're like, "Fuck you." And they're like, "Anyway, you're safer in the bottom." And Evie's like, kind of like, "Bitch, I fucking told you."
Right.
You know what I mean?
Exactly like that. I think that the difference, that, like, in so many things, is fucking consent. If you're like, "Can I tell you something?" And I'm like, "Bob, you're my drag mother. You know me. I respect your opinion." Yes. That's criticism. It's invited, and I'm okay with it. Right. If you come up and tell me a whole bunch of things that you think I'm doing wrong, I don't know who you are. I don't know your resume. I know you're funny, entertaining, well, smart. Like, that is just like... Now, Michelle, that's criticism. That's not hate, because you came to the show to hear what she has to say.
But does that scan? For example, let's say you release a movie and the New York Times reviews it. You didn't invite them. Are they haters because you don't know them, or because you didn't invite them to do it?
I was just about to say, I feel like as a public figure, we have to, like, we put ourselves on the platform to be judged.
Yeah.
So, like, I expect something, but it's, like, how you deal with it.
So, yeah, like, I guess then it is if... the thing that you are putting out there to be judged. I went to RuPaul's Drag Race to have my drag judged.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I put myself, the New York Times can do it. Anybody can do it, even if they don't know me. But what was happening in that video, between the lines, was that was not criticism. There was
not an intent to improve or help in any way. That was to break someone down.
I forgot to tell you, he worked for the New York Times.
Yeah, exactly. And you can work for the Times and be a hater.
Not anymore after that.
Yeah, exactly, girl. Okay, so it's like, what is going on there is the intention to harm or disrupt or hurt things that were not put out there to be critiqued. You know, mm-hmm. there well, behind that was like, you are a piece of shit generally, and that is not nobody's putting themselves out there for that. Right. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, it is an interesting question. When is someone a hater? When are they not a hater? If you leave your house wearing an outfit and someone doesn't like it, I mean, you are out in public. You're not putting it out there. You maybe not be putting it out there to be judged. For example, if someone does a play, it's not necessarily to be judged. It's to be enjoyed.
Right.
People can come and judge it.
Yeah.
But does that make them a hater for judging it when they showed up?
I think the word hater has another implication that we're ignoring, though. Usually when you say, those are haters, what you're saying, you're implying that they're just jealous. That's in there, right? Like, oh, these are just haters. Well, they're jealous, that's why. So I think it's like a loaded word to call someone a hater. You're saying like, oh, you're just jealous of me, and I think that I wouldn't want to say that. You know what
I mean? You also could come to see something I put out and hate it, like, honestly. Just
right.
Like, oh, I
genuinely hate it.
Like
I will say this. I always say this. I've said this like 10 times on the podcast. I don't know much about the Kardashians, but I think they are the most hated family in America. And I think that it's because people envy them. Because people think to themselves, I would like what the Kardashians have. Haters. I think I deserve it more than they do, and I want it.
Right.
So therefore, they're thinking, so why is she the richest this? Why is she the most famous, the most followed this?
Mm-hmm.
I can do all the stuff she's doing. Why don't I have it? And the reason why you don't have it is because she does and you don't.
They want it. They're jealous.
What's hers is hers, and what's yours will be yours.
Right.
She has, excuse me, ooh, I had a date earlier. She has, what she has is the...
All coming back.
All coming back.
Boneless children.
Yeah, what she has is hers. What you have is yours. What she has is the most followers on Twitter.
Yeah.
And what you have is Employee of the Month at H&R Block.
Yeah.
H&R Block is a good job.
I don't hate the Kardashians because I don't want any of the things that they have. Do you know what I mean? I don't particularly like them.
All
but it
of
doesn't
the things.
Build a fire inside of me because I don't want a lot of the things that they have. I don't want to have to listen to Kanye before I go to sleep every night.
You don't want their coins, though, girl? They got some nice shit.
Have you seen 73 Questions Vogue with Kim Kardashian?
No.
And
Kanye West? It is amazing.
And all, roll the picture.
She's there with all the kids, and then at one point they look at Kanye and go, Kanye, what's the best part about being a father? And then he just, without looking at camera, he goes, the kids. And they're like, oh, okay, so... Kanye, you guys, and she's like, you know, Kanye, we always give our advice. Then Kanye goes, you never take my advice. I give you advice, but you never listen to me. It's like, oh my God. And Kanye West is like in a whole different mind space after the Trump thing. I don't know if you guys remember this or not. Trump went, when he went to the White House and was like, I support Trump.
Yeah.
And then later he was like, you know what? I feel like I was used in a political scheme.
Yeah.
I was a pawn in this bigger scheme that I didn't know about. And I am staying away from politics now. So ever since he stayed away from politics, he is kind of like in like zombie land.
They got him on some good meds.
Girl, I mean, it's a little scary. It's a little bit like abducted, like replaced with something. So we talk about how you deal with hate. How do you deal with criticism?
Like the good shit?
Yeah, like from something like...
You're right.
If a friend of yours is like, I don't think this was your best outfit, and this is why I wouldn't wear it.
Yeah.
Right. Someone you know and trust, a friend is like, this was not your best work.
Mitch.
I don't think it's your best work. Tell me what you would do instead. How do you deal with that?
I fight them.
Never let them know. Quietly throw it away, but don't let them know.
I have been told that I'm really defensive about my art, and it's true because it's mine. Like, why would I not care about the things that I'm creating? Right?
Keep in mind, I'm an artist. I'm sensitive about my shit.
My heart is on my sleeve about my stuff. So when it's from my friends, it definitely burns a little bit. And at first, I fight it. But I was told by my acting teacher in college, and it's something that I like carry on in my career, like a great artist can kill their babies. And I was like, what the
fuck? Oh, you gotta kill babies.
Yeah.
I tell Mitch to kill babies all the time.
She's always telling me to kill the baby.
I'm always telling Mitch to kill that baby.
Kill the babies. So the thing that you're
How's
like,
your threat,
oh.
By the way?
Oh, that's funny because Mitch tells me to kill my babies all the time. He's like, here's a knife. Where's your child?
Yeah.
Kill that baby. Kill those babies.
And really can only be the only way to describe it. You couldn't use any other phrase.
Well, the reason kill why kill a baby is the phrase is because you really love what you've made. And you're like, this is my favorite part of this. And it's like, okay, you love all the parts.
Yeah.
You're going to have to get rid of some of them. They're all your babies. Kill one.
Also, you can like bad shit. Like, people like bad things. Like, that's a thing.
Also, if you're listening and you killed your baby and you're triggered by this,
you deserve it.
I mean, you also killed your baby.
You also killed your baby,
I mean, not someone who accidentally killed their baby. We're talking about someone
Let's not talk about baby killing. Because Roe v. Wade right now, I feel like this is a very bad time.
Oh, by the way, I mean, we are all, I mean, I can't speak for everyone here, but I mean.
I am pro-choice. Is that what we're saying? Yeah, I am. Because if we can prevent something like me behind first, then.
Take it all out.
We are live to tape.
So what do you guys thoughts too about when someone's like, I'm not being a bitch. I'm just being honest. Like when someone's like, I mean,
we all have that friend.
Right.
We do. You and I have that one friend that we share between us.
Who is it?
Caleb.
I'm right here.
It's just like, the thing is like, you know, there's a difference between being honest and being just blunt, you know?
Well, I've become that friend recently as well.
Yeah.
Mm. Like recently, like me and Monet have been getting to this thing where she comes out wearing t-shirts and I say, that's ugly.
Yeah.
I don't like that. We're like up here doing a thing and you're literally just wearing a shirt and some Doc Martens. She's like, this is great. And I'm like, my opinion is it's not pretty.
Yeah.
Right. Especially when she asks me, what do you think? And I'm like, I don't think you look good. I think you're wearing a shirt. Yeah. I think you're wearing a shirt.
I think you point to the people in your life that you will listen to. And I listen to the things that you say. I listen to what Caitlin says. If she says, listen, that picture is not the tea, I will not put it on the internet. And the reason is because enough times I've been like, Caitlin, I respect you, but I'm putting it up.
Right.
And then 4 weeks later, I look back at it and I was like, Caitlin was fucking right.
Right.
You know, I know I've had that experience enough to be like, all right, when she says it, okay, fine. I don't see it right now. And that's just, you choose those people and it may hurt, but you just let it go.
Also, the other side is, like, it feels better coming from those people than the other ones. So, like, Mitch does that to me all the time, too, where he's like, I don't like that, or that's not my favorite. And I'm, like, a little bit butthurt about it.
Yeah.
But, though, it would be much worse if he didn't say anything. Like, I put out my very first single. Apparently, everyone hated the album artwork.
Yeah.
And nobody told me.
Right.
The album artwork?
The Hive. You told me afterwards.
But what was the album artwork?
Told me afterwards.
Can we bring up the album artwork, please?
You fully told me afterwards.
But the only reason is because you sent it to me the day it had to be published.
Okay, I sent it the day. Okay, facts. It was the last minute. But, like, everybody was like, okay, cool, post this. And then, like, legit, the next week, they were like, so, yeah, your song was good, but damn, the album artwork was bad. And I was like, well, where the fuck were all of y'all when I said, look at my new shit, you know? So I'd rather you read me like, oh, I don't like that. Before I let the world see that.
Yeah.
Are we allowed to criticize other people's work?
Absolutely. I mean, that's
like openly. Not like in the privacy of our home. Am I allowed to be in an interview be like, I do not like this thing?
Yeah. I mean, it's the whole point.
Oh, yeah, this is not great. Why did you ask me?
I don't know why I didn't ask anybody.
It's not great.
Anybody. She said it to me the day it needed to be released. And like, can you release this now? Sure. I was like, well, there's nothing we can do.
Okay, so, but now look at the latest one. It's sickening.
Well, let's see the latest one. Pull up the
see if Bob agrees, because we know she will tell you.
The Bob agree.
Yeah.
The Bob agree.
Bob agree.
You are now just making noises.
What's Bob do?
No, I got you.
Oh my God, scroll back down.
Ah! You act like you didn't do it too.
I did it too, girl. My fucking Leland Bombay shot was.
You see it? Is it there?
You scroll past it. She said.
No, we didn't.
We'll find it. It's on your Instagram.
When I was studying writing in school, my editor told me, find the most beautiful sentence, your favorite sentence in the whole essay, and cross it out. Because if you are just obsessed with something that you've done and you can't stop telling people about this one part of it, it is because there's something in your mind that's like ask everyone until someone tells you it's shitty. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Right. You're like, what do you think? You like this, right? This is great. This is fine. I usually don't have stubble. But today I was like, let it. Do you like? Isn't that great? Isn't that like Bob? What do you think?
Oh, this is much better.
Yeah, that's great.
Yeah,
much better. Yeah.
That's from old Abraham Levy.
Old Abraham Levy.
Yeah, leave it to Levy, girl.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's kind of like, oh, double tap. Come on. It's kind of like a pageant. You know, when you do a pageant, they take your highest score and your lowest score, and they drop them both.
Right.
And it's everything.
So I guess we gotta check out my next album artwork coming out.
Well, we've seen your highest and lowest score already. So get rid of those.
Look at all the other pictures. This is the one that we're gonna judge you by. Okay.
So I think that for me, like, I mean, it was so long ago that I was on RuPaul's Drag Race and getting critiques and criticism.
Like gay long ago, though. Literally, yeah, it was only 3 years.
It was 3 years ago. Yeah. But, like,
but gay long.
Yeah, gay long. Yeah, exactly. I was a gay teenager then.
Right. Oh,
and
absolutely.
Now I'm a gay Gandalf, basically. But it's been like, when I was getting criticism then, it felt like I had also never received that much criticism. Because what fans don't realize is this. You're on stage getting critiqued by the judges. You see 3 minutes of critiques. Mm. We're being critiqued for upwards of 3 hours sometimes. Right.
Individually, each one, 3 hours each.
I mean, but it is like a good solid 30 minutes of them just talking about you.
But first, before they talk to you about you, they're like,
oh yeah, and they whisper to each other. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they whisper like,
you're like, what?
Do you want the? Do you want? You know, the guacamole is free. Yeah. All right. Yes, your outfit's great, but also there's also a Helen Hardy nearby. You want the Helen Hardy?
And it doesn't even end there. Like, my favorite thing that they have never not done this to Monet Exchange. Mm-hmm. Michelle will be like, let's talk about this outfit. It is my favorite.
Oh no!
Outfit. You know, they're always mentioned up. They're always like, your acting today changed the season.
They'll be like, Monet Exchange. I must say, this look is bad. Very, very bad.
Because of her face, she's got those big eyes and stuff. They're like, this is gonna be good. Yeah. Just like, I can tell you how to make movable drag, you know.
So it was so long. What they don't realize, you're on stage getting critiqued by the judges. And then you go back to Untucked, and then you get critiqued by the girls. And then you sit in your hotel room critiquing yourself.
Right.
Yeah. And then you go home, and then you sit with it for like 7 or 8 months. And then it goes on the internet, and then you watch yourself get critiqued all over again. And then Jake Yancey posts a video where he critiques you as well.
I live for Jake Yancey, by the way.
Jake Yancey will one day get a Pulitzer Prize for
investigative journalism.
Remember right now,
Post.
Jake Yancey is the gay Anderson Cooper. Jake Yancey, I'm going to expose you.
Yeah.
Cracker, expose.
Like, whoa, what light down? You know, the thing is, like, after that, you sometimes will respond with like, hey, you know, this is what I feel about this runway. This is why I did it. And then that response to the critique is critique.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? It is like, and it is like, and that's why I say don't feed it, because it will never end. It will go, you will comment on the critique, on your response to the critique, and then it just, after that, is too meta.
But you know, do you need to, do you have to, should you listen to the critiques? Should you listen to the haters? Should you read the comments?
Yes.
We have a yes, and we have a...
Well, Aja told me yes, and there are...
All of my best advice in life came from Aja.
Aja.
Okay, so there's a difference between reading the comments.
Wait, what did Aja tell you?
The thing is, like, I am torn, because I see it both ways.
Rough night?
Yeah. I see it both ways.
Wait, on that note, let's take a short break.
Let's take a short break.
And we'll come back. All right.
Hi, guys. If you love our podcast and you'd like to help support our production and gain access to exclusive content on Patreon, you can do just that.
When you pledge a monthly payment of your choosing, you'll gain access to exclusive behind-the-scenes content that isn't available anywhere else.
The more pledges we get, the more we will be able to dedicate our time to creating more sibling rivalry content. It's a win-win.
We have 3 tiers for you to choose from to pledge your monthly donation.
For our first tier, you can pledge $1 a month and you become a stranger. For this price, you gain the knowledge that you have supported us for
appreciate that.
For $5 a month, the next tier is a cousin. You're not one of our siblings, but we're totally related. You have access to our locked feed and get to see exclusive content and behind-the-scenes footages. You'll also be supporting the continuation of Sibling Rivalry.
Yeah, cuz, you can come to the cookout, but don't come to my house.
With your shoes on.
Yeah, with your shoes. Take your shoes off!
Your fucking shoes off!
And our last tier is Sibling. For $10 a month, you came from the same pussy as us. You are one of our siblings. You have access to our locked feed, this exclusive content, and behind-the-scenes footage.
Footages.
And you are a huge supporter in the continuation of Sibling Rivalry. If you do not support us, we assume you're racist.
Oh, not assume. I know.
I bet you be watching Trixie and Katya.
I bet you watch Whimsically
Volatile. I bet you subscribe to Race Chaser.
Uh-huh.
With your white ass. You know what? In fact, if you white, you need to be a sibling. All black folks can do $5. All white motherfuckers need to subscribe more.
Stop. You're scared of people.
Okay, you're right.
We'll see you guys next time, and we love you.
Bye. All right, and we are black, two of us.
Indexed.
What did Aja say to you?
Aja said that you should read the hateful comments, because there is stuff in there that you're like, none of your friends would tell you, but you had to fucking know. And I see it both ways, because like, there have been times where I heard something that took me down for a week, and I did not need to lay down for that week. You know, mm-hmm. That was useless. But there are times when people were just like, just throw on some orange beard blocker underneath your fucking foundation, and it will change your fucking life, you ugly slut. And I was like, I'll take the foundation part. And it helped me.
Right.
So
are you going to keep slutting?
Just like, the slut part, you know, what it is. Yeah, I am what I eat. So it's just like, I'm torn both ways, but you really have to judge yourself on that day. You have to sit up and be like, is this how I want to spend my time? Do I have the strength to go through it?
Right.
You know?
I don't read sites like Reddit that are like for fans to go on and throw
on
shit.
However,
but like the comments on my post specifically, like if I spent all my money on this dress and I spent all my time on this performance I'm putting up a video of, you better believe I want to know that you liked it. And I can't see that you liked it if I'm just blocking out everything because five people from Kentucky hate Honey Davenport. Like, literally, that's where they live.
That's hard when you kind of weed out the good stuff.
Right.
Kentucky. We also don't realize how often, if the whole crowd's going, if everyone in the room is going, yay, and one person's going, boo, the boo sticks out.
Shut up. Why?
Yeah, boo sticks out the loudest.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I heard about this. Our mind, evolutionarily speaking, is developed to pay attention to negative and violent things, because that's how we survive. If you're in the jungle and you hear a bunch of bird song and you're like, it's mostly bird song, fuck that panther noise, that small panther noise over there, you are not going to survive.
Yeah.
So we're trained to pay attention to that shit. Mm. But it doesn't apply to our world anymore, so you can't do that. You have to switch things up.
You heard it here first. Haters are a part of evolution. Right, helping you survive, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly.
So with that in mind, I think that what we should do is, in this week's challenge, okay. Well, actually, I don't think this cracker thought of this. You can explain it.
Yeah. Okay, this is what I think we should do. We should choose a bunch of hateful things that people have said about you, which, like, I will be up all night.
So much to choose from.
And then I'm going to put in a few things that I've been waiting to say. No. I'm going to put in a few fake ones, and we're going to see if you can weed out the real ones from the fake ones.
And should I do a vice versa?
No, I just want to do this to you. We only have so much time in the studio. Yeah, no, let's do it. I can dish it and take it, all right? She's verse.
All right, well,
new.
Thank you. But I'm a lazy verse, or what I like to call an Iggy Azalea.
Oh, you know, have you seen Iggy's new video with like Vangie?
Absolutely.
Yes. And then she did Jimmy Kimmel with Vangie as well, right?
And Vangie, Vangie swing in the purse is my new religion.
Yeah.
Chicken.
Van just walks out and then she just swings a purse over her head.
Yep.
Well, Iggy Azalea says, go on, girl. And also, can I spill tea?
Yes.
Okay. So I got reached out to by like Iggy's team to be like, hey, and Iggy's team was like, hey, we have this new song.
Yeah.
Iggy loves you and she really wants you to like post about this thing.
Right. Yeah.
This new song. And I was like, oh, okay. So I just went to Iggy's page. And I just looked at who Iggy was following. And I was like, well, Iggy loves Shea Coulee and Trixie Mattel. She actually comments on Trixie Mattel's comments all the time.
Yeah.
She really loves Mayhem Miller, but she doesn't even follow me. So how much does she really love me?
Form letter.
So I didn't do the thing.
Yeah.
Was that too much tea? It's the real tea. It's real.
Oh, no.
I live for her, though.
Yeah, I always check if you really like me, if you say you really like me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, if you say it, I'm like, when? When you know me from... People are like, I was your fan before Drag Race. Perfect. You're like, when?
What bar?
Oh,
what
really, day? Ritz? Because I started that after Drag Race. Bitch! Caitlin's like grabbing my hand like, come away. We can't have this conversation. But if you know me from motherfucking Sweet Bar, 109th Street in Amsterdam with Brenda Darling, then you know me. Right. And I have to chloroform you.
Do you know what I mean? The folks were like, I saw you dancing behind Sahara Davenport at Sweet Bar, honey. Like, wasn't that you? And honey's like, that was me.
Let's take this inside.
No, they clocked me way more uncomfortably. So, like, I remember you from the dark room at the cock when I,
from the word. The fuck tent?
The fuck tent. Yeah. From the fuck tent! Oh, I got clocked to the fuck tent.
People who clocked me the most, like, you remember Sisters at Excess Lounge when you were a kitten with a whip?
Oh,
and
then
I chloroformed them and dragged their bodies away.
Yeah, I actually full on still have a gown that has a tag with
please
it.
Please welcome Miss Chloroform.
Wait, what did I make you?
You didn't make it for me. I bought it from somebody else.
Did I give it to someone?
You made Frosty that gown.
That gown. Okay, this gown has made the. It's the one that's she covered in stones.
The sisterhood of the traveling.
Is it lace? What is it?
I can't remember. It's silver metallic fabric. I probably cost like $7 a yard.
It's silver metallic
fabric.
What happened was I made the gown for Frosty. Frosty, I think, sold it to Sable City.
No, Frosty sold it to me.
Oh, straight to you?
Frosty sold it straight to me. And I loaned it to Sable Cities.
That's what happened.
Okay. But when Frosty sold it to me, it already had like $500 worth of stones on it. I was like, oh, this is cute. It fits me well. Let me put another $200 worth of stones on it. And then Sable put another $300 worth of stones
on
it. So this dress is very well stoned.
Oh, my God. Can we get a picture? We'll find a picture.
It's called Gay Lint, girl. Just rhinestones gathering. The great thing about your name, Kitten with the Whip, is that you would make outfits for me and other people all the time because you were one of the only girls that could sew. Everyone else could, I don't know, whatever they were doing. And I was like, you know what? I'm going to do a nice thing for my drag mom. And I ordered, at a time when I was flat broke,
I will never
like
forget this.
500 labels that said a Kitten with a Whip creation. Yeah. And the next week, she changed her name to Bob the Drag Queen. There is one leotard out there that says a Kitten with a Whip creation.
Oh, no, I have a gown. I have
she
a gown.
Kitten with a whipped it together, girl.
No, when I changed my name, I still use those tags.
Yeah,
yes.
Did.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
Oh, yeah. No, those tags are out there, honey. I really use those a lot. All right, we're rambling.
I know the national audience wants to know what local bar we were in with local queen. like what exactly happened in 1995 or whatever we're fucking talking about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you all for listening. Once again, we have Crack Attack, and we have Hannah Davenport. I'm Bob the Drag Queen.
Yes.
I should let you say your own name. I'm too overbearing.
Yes.
I'll let you say your name.
I'm Honey Davenport.
And I'm Miss Cracker.
And my name is Evie Oddly. Thank you all so much for joining us.